Thanks, Jimmy, for having me here, and Joan, Don, you guys put this on every month, and it's wonderful, and thanks for having me. Week? What do I know? I know. I sleep a lot, so. Now, before you hear these poems, there are things you should know. That's the title, so we'll go. Now, before you hear these poems, there are things you should know. I wrote them hunched over a dirty money counter, between a cash machine and a snuff display. I was at work, so I did get paid to write these poems. But they were small triumphs, scratched out beneath the snaggletooth manager, the indignant customers, the scratch-off fiends and insomniacs. There were no smoke breaks, sore ankles, paper cuts across the knuckles, phone calls from home office about cleaning the bathrooms, and mandatory overtime for the two of us on salary. Working class dreams. You say you wake so quickly you don't remember your dreams. Most days are 10 minutes late on a meeting morning where all the old hens talk and talk and talk, and it's all weather and television and more work, same pay, same ones who need told never hear a word. And there's you, been there 10 years now, can't call a day off without taking shit from incompetent middle management. The way we have to work, make our money just to give it away, work becomes life. And that's what we're talking about here. At home, we call coworkers by first names. We know them from other stories, other atrocities. You say they fish tank us, stack us in cubicles like the ash of the dead sealed in stone mausoleums. And when it's time, when the company has to choose between you and fiscal projections, it's no decision. You're gone. Besides, they already sucked your soul through a straw some time ago. You know this is truth. In spite of this truth, you're there every day, burning up the back road just to punch in before the clock rounds up, steals your time. Through the flus and heartbreak, depressed mornings stuck under the covers. Even your sleep is work, no rest, no dreams. And tomorrow's Wednesday, and tomorrow's here, and there you go, sleep still stuck in your eye because you have to. And even though I think you deserve something more than a poem about that kind of grit, these are lean times, baby, and until someone figures a way to get poets paid, this is as good as it gets for people like us. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. You might not want to clap by the end, so, I'll give you a chance to take it all back. This is actually for a guy named Chuck, who is dead, but he played guitar and told me no less than 3 times how he played poker with Jim Croce before, so. These things I see in the windshield. The man walks the brown dog. Man walks dog. Brown walks the man. Brown is a dog, a boxer named Brown, and he walks a frail man up and down the neighborhood street. The walks are short, the relationship simple. They like it that way. I see them every day, half awake on my way to work. I almost hit them once every couple of months, but we still wave to each other. We like it that way. The night Regis got rolled. Oh, sure, I knew the guy. 10 years on midnight shift, you get acquainted with the late night crowd. He was stalking around the gas pumps, talking himself into it, his hands stuffed into a starter jacket. He said, "Well, you know me, so give me the money." I said, You need to show me a weapon first, don't you? He had this busted piece of pipe, bashed the air between us like he'd crack my head. So I said, here you go. And gave him the $40 in the register, all ones and fives, just made a drop 10 minutes earlier. Then he wanted the silver too, so I tied off a plastic bag. The worst part was corporate called the next day. Some kid who sounded 12 years old, but Christ, this was noon and I sleep until 2:30. He wanted assurance I wouldn't sue and told me I could take off the next 2 days, paid. I said, no, it just messed up my sleep schedule. It's a true story. Jimmy, you know, I'm glad to see you here, man. I feel good knowing you're right there, you know. I say, all right. Yeah, I was there in that reading with the monk robes and the Gregorian chant. It was the weirdest goddamn reading I ever was a part of. I'll never forget it either. So, it was really cool, you know. That's right too, yeah. So I call this one the spider. So it's, people like to say death comes in threes. It just seems like you know two other people of all the people in your world, including celebrities and some woman you work with, and even though you don't know her cousin personally, you know he did die. The living, me and you and the rest of the planet, we invent fairy tales. We make euphemisms, religions, attempt to domesticate death. Some of us still hold our breath past a graveyard. Death comes in tens, in hundreds, some days in thousands. Ask your undertaker if he's only embalmed 3 bodies this week. Death peeks through a crack in your bedroom curtains, owl-eyed, slips beneath the cellar door into the basement, sets up a spider web in an unlit corner. So when you walk through it, step back and swat that single strand of silk stuck to your face, and the full infinity of the web comes into view, you freeze with the thought of the spider, all its eyes on you, wondering what exactly it has caught today. So, you know you're doing a good job when Joan's like nodding her head up here. That's good, yeah, so. This is called Social Distortion Comes to Cheswick. We were drinking in the parking lot of Cesarina, a roller skating rink turned concert venue, pre-gaming for Social D. I bought Coors Light from the six-pack shop in the nearby plaza because my girl, she won't drink with me unless it's the Silver Bullet. Werewolf killers, she calls them. The leather jackets and biker boots, the pompadours and skeleton shirts were too much for the lone police officer who drifted through each row of the lot looking to harass concertgoers, chugging and huffing and sniffing and smoking out of their trunks on a Tuesday night in Cheswick. The only harassment I encountered was from our fellow tailgaters, a girl I worked with and her boyfriend named Nemo, and 3 of their buddies passing Jim Beam between cans of Pabst Blue Ribbon. They said, Queer's Light, the queen of beers. They said, what do Coors Light and Sex on the Beach have in common? They're both fucking near water. Nemo wobbled and slurred when he spoke, and when he wasn't slugging the Jim Beam, he was making out with my coworker, hands pinching, tongue slopping around her lips. When the flask-shaped bottle made it to Nemo, he pulled a swig and handed it to his girlfriend, who I knew better when she wore her name tag and polo shirt. Then Nemo started hacking and working up the mucus in his throat, gargling and stretching his neck like a reptile that swallows live food whole. He held the Jim Beam mid-pass in a gesture for me to take it as he spit onto the parking lot pavement, except it wasn't your average saliva mucus spit, but more of a squirt of vomit, a mini puke past office spit. My girl and I, we examined the gob of barf, and instead of taking the bottle, I tapped it with the neck of my maligned Coors Light and said, "Cheers." Nemo seemed offended, but was hacking up a new creation by then. Before he spit, though, he pulled my coworker close and kissed her with an open mouth, then spewed another Pollock-esque splotch onto the lot, so when the police car passed, it rolled right through it, leaving a treaded mess of bile and Jim Beam and rock and roll and maybe even love. I warned you. Do I have any grosser poems than that? Maybe. This is the last one. This is called Stink Bug Poem. Yeah, you know. A stink bug floats in my toilet, so I piss all over him, dunking him deeper in yellowing water. He paddles for the porcelain sides, but I move him with my piss like a hockey stick slips a puck back along the boards. My piss is bright green as cooking oil, a vitamin C supplement, magnesium for cluster headaches, too much Mountain Dew. This stink bug, he must have absorbed all that shit in my piss. He flits his quick wings and paddles with a new vigor. I stand mid-piss, admiring the stink bug. Douse him down and he bobs back up, scuttles through the bubbles and ripples. Then the stink bug stops swimming and floats face up, ready for his fate, the big flush that awaits us all.